While you open up your ancient manuscript versions of the Bible, I'm just going to open up my modern version. But good morning. It's great to be with you again. It really is. And I'm truly grateful for your continued support of my ministry in Haringey, but also for the continued support of London City Mission. We've been going now for 189 years. Next year is 190th birthday. I've been with London City Mission for 11 of those, so not many. But thank you very much for your support. We can't continue doing what we do in London without the support of churches like yourselves. So I'm very grateful. And so is my iPad for the delay, because it's now open and ready to go. For those of you that didn't hear it, I'm Adam Boyce. And I'm a missionary with the London City Mission, and I have the privilege of leading the team in Haringey. Essentially, what we do is we spend our working lives basically getting to know churches like yours in London, not in Hastings, and just really getting to know them, getting to know the leadership there, getting to know the people at the churches. What are they doing in terms of sharing the gospel with people in their lives, in the community? What do they want to be doing, and how can we sort of train and equip them to be doing it more confidently? In a nutshell, is what we do. Before we get to where we find ourselves today in chapter 20 of the book of Acts, I'm going to do a little bit of an overview of how we find ourselves exactly where we are, and you probably would have got this last week. So Paul has spent several years in Ephesus, and that's a bustling Roman port city filled with trade, with temples, and a very diverse population, not too dissimilar from London. And Paul's been sharing the gospel, he's been teaching people about Jesus, he's been watching God really change people's lives, and the gospel has spread so powerfully that it started to shake up things in that city, and not everyone was happy about it, because Ephesus was famous for worshipping the goddess Artemis, and a lot of the locals made money from the statues that they used to make, and the shrines they used to make. But then people turning to Jesus meant their business wasn't so great, and so fast forward, and we find a group of the silversmiths causing this huge riot in the city as they go through the city. And Paul wanted to step in and preach to this massive crowd, and his friend said, no, don't do that, because they're going to rip you apart if you do. And with all of that madness going on, Paul knows it's time to move on. And so that's where we find ourselves today in Acts chapter 20. And at the beginning of our passage, we see him gather his friends, his little entourage, and he encourages them one last time, and he hits the road. And his plan is to visit some churches that he helped to start, check in on them, encourage them, collect a bit of money to help the believers in Jerusalem, and continue on his travels. And he's not traveling for fun. He's really focused on what he's doing, because Paul knows that things aren't going to get any easier for him. But he also knows, being the missionary of all missionaries, that the mission that God has called him to matters too much for him to slow down. And what do I mean when I say a missionary? One dictionary definition of the word missionary says someone sent to share the message of Jesus, teach the Bible, and help others through acts of service and love. Doesn't that kind of describe every Christian in some ways? We're no different from Paul, although Paul was very different from us, you could say. He was a man, he was a sinner, he was saved by grace, and God used him to share the gospel with those who needed to hear it. That's mission. Sharing the gospel. It's not some faraway sort of doesn't relate to you and me concept. No, that's those people that go off to that country and they go and help those people in those far off lands. I mean, people do go overseas and do mission. But it doesn't mean that the rest of us aren't called to live our everyday lives doing the same thing. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Jesus commanded us to do in Matthew 28. You will be my witnesses, he says in Acts chapter 2. Each of us are sinners. If we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are saved by grace, and we're called to share the gospel. Amen? Oh, good. Amen. We're awake. Now, there's a famous Baptist preacher, and I'm in an Anglican church, but there's a famous Baptist preacher called Charles Spurgeon. He once said, it is the whole business of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. If this is the case, and I don't think I'm going to argue with Charles Spurgeon, how dare I, we don't even have to accept whether we consider ourselves a missionary or not, because it is the whole church's business to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. Amen? So the big idea we're going to be walking through this morning is that to follow Jesus on his mission, because if we're following Jesus as our Savior, we have to follow him on his mission. It means movement, it requires sacrifice, it builds real community, and it demands urgency. Hopefully it'll all make sense after 45 minutes, I think you said I got. That was a joke. Guys, this isn't just Paul's story, it's our story. St. Leonard's doesn't need more Christians turning up on a Sunday and ticking the boxes. It needs people who know they are sent by Jesus, people who carry the gospel into their everyday life, into the street where they live, the place where they work, into their WhatsApp chats, because they know Jesus is worth it. So before we take a look at Paul's mini tour of what we now refer to as Greece and Turkey, shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for this good news, the gospel, that your son Jesus came to earth, he lived, he died, and he rose again, and he did it for each and every one of us. And Lord, thank you that we have the privilege of being able to share this good news with those in our lives. So Lord, may in this moment, may we learn more about you, may we leave here today different than we came in, because you have worked in our hearts. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So I'm going to whiz through at a healthy pace because it's a bit of a story. So do follow along. Acts chapter 20. Yes, I'm in the right place. When the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples and, after encouraging them, said goodbye and set off for Macedonia. He travelled through that area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people, and finally arrived in Greece, where he stayed 3 months. Because some Jews had plotted against him, just as he was about to sail for Syria, he decided to go back through Macedonia, and he was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, I'm going to pronounce it as Timothy also, and Tychius and Trophimus from the province of Asia. These men went ahead and waited for us at Troas, but we sailed from Philippi after the festival of unleavened bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. The next day, we set sail from there and arrived off Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Whew. I should really brush up on my ancient Greek and my modern Greek, because there's a lot of words in there that I couldn't pronounce. So apologies if I offended anybody with my mispronunciations. Mission means movement, family. Look with me at verse 1. When the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples and, after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. After encouraging them, he set out. Paul doesn't stand still for long. He travels through Macedonia, then through Greece, visiting cities like Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, and Corinth. Why? Because he's spending his time visiting the churches there and checking in on them. He's always looking for the next person to encourage, the next church to strengthen, the next opportunity to share Jesus. And he's also raising support for the poor believers back in Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is where the church began, where the church was born. But over time, the believers there had come under some really heavy persecution. If you read the book of Acts, especially the early chapters, you'll learn about that. Some had lost their jobs, some had lost their homes, some had even lost their families. There was a massive famine that broke out and to make things even harder. So Paul was collecting this money from these Gentile or non-Jewish churches to support the struggling believers back in Jerusalem, and not just to help practically, but he also kind of wanted to show some unity and build some unity among these churches in the area. We're in this together, one family, one gospel. So we see that Paul is moving with a purpose. He's not just, I mean, I'd love to tour those countries, Macedonia, Greece, Turkey. But he was doing it not because it was even a busman's holiday. It was mission. And if we're followers of Jesus, we're meant to be people who move with purpose as well. Now, I don't mean we all need to pack our bags and head off to some far-off land and become overseas missionaries. And if that's your calling, then God bless you. Don't get me wrong. But what I mean is we can't be passive. The gospel moves, and it moves through people who are willing to go and share it. Amen? Amen. And maybe that looks like taking the time to get to know someone that perhaps at your place of work or study, who you wouldn't normally talk to. Someone maybe from a different background or a different faith or no faith, and just being open about your faith and what you believe in that moment. Or if you've got children, it might mean being a gospel presence at the school gates, you know, not getting drawn into the gossip, but being the one who brings a bit of calm and kindness and a bit of light when things get kind of tense or negative, you know, not getting involved in the gossip. Or maybe it means reaching out to that friend or family member who's gone quiet or who you know is hurting at the moment and going through something and just showing them a bit of Christ-like love and checking in with some genuine care and, you know, staying open to those little moments where you might be able to just gently share that hope in Jesus that you have with somebody that hasn't got it in their life. Hastings and St. Leonard's doesn't need another church that just stays put. It needs a church that goes, that steps outside of its comfort zone, that opens its doors to those who often get overlooked in life, that's willing to have those honest and sometimes awkward conversations that most people avoid. Because Paul didn't move because it was easy. He moved because he knew he was sent. So where might the Lord be sending you to move in your daily life? Mission means move. Mission means sacrifice. Verse 3 tells us that Paul spent 3 months in Greece, more than likely in the city of Corinth. But just as he was about to set sail for Syria, they discovered there was these Jewish people that wanted to kill him. So what does he do? He changes his route and travels back the long way through Macedonia. And this journey wouldn't have been easy. It would have been full of risks. There would have been full of discomforts and disruptions. But Paul keeps on going. Why? Because Paul, he knew that the mission matters more than his comfort. In verse 24, later on in the same chapter, Paul says, I consider my life worth nothing to me because my only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given to me. Living our life for the gospel comes at a cost. And if it's never costing us anything, it might be worth gently asking ourselves whether we're still making space in our daily life for God to use us to reach others. Here in Hastings and St. Leonard's, do you consider yourself Hastings? Or are you proud to be St. Leonard's? What do I refer to you as? St. Leonard's. There we go. Here in St. Leonard's, following Jesus might not mean dodging riots or death threats. I hope it doesn't, but you never know. We've had them in London before. But it might mean opening your life to people who sometimes drain you emotionally because you know that they need to see and feel the love of Jesus, even if it costs you your energy and your comfort. It might mean being misunderstood or even rejected by your family and friends for taking your faith seriously and choosing to stand firm in your faith with grace, with kindness, but standing firm. It might mean sacrificing your evenings or your weekends to disciple younger people in the faith, or even people on the fringes of society, homeless people, or perhaps those who suffer from addictions. Who knows what the Lord might call you to? But sometimes the cost of living a missional life isn't money or time, it's just an emotional burden, an emotional tax. It's choosing to love someone who maybe constantly pulls away from you, who shuts down, who keeps you at a distance, but you keep on showing up for them with love and with grace. Not because it's easy, not because you're getting anything back, but because your love for them isn't based on any response they can give you. It's rooted in your faith in Jesus. Because that's the kind of sacrificial love that we're called to show the world, because that's the kind of sacrificial love that Jesus shows us. Amen? Loving people even when they don't see it or want it or return it, just like Jesus does with us. Guys, the mission of Jesus will cost us something. Following Jesus has to cost us something. But it will always be worth it. Jesus never promised us that following him would be easy, but he said it will be worth it. He said, whoever wants to be my disciple, this is his words, not mine, must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Luke chapter 9. And Paul said in his letter to the Romans in chapter 8, I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. So following Jesus will stretch us, it will tire us, but it's never wasted. Mission means movement, mission means sacrifice, but we're never meant to do it alone. Mission builds real community. Verses 4 and 5, look with me there. Here we see a list of names that I'm not going to try and pronounce again, but it's people from all over the place. And what's striking about this group of people that Paul is traveling with is just how different they are. Some are Jewish converts, some are non-Jewish believers who've come to faith. Some are from wealthy cities, while others are from more humble, rural, or poorer places. So we can assume that naturally they might not have clicked. But here they are traveling together as one team, one purpose, to serve Jesus and to build up and strengthen his church. And they're just ordinary people like you and me. And that's what the gospel does, brothers and sisters. It brings people together who wouldn't usually belong together, and it builds something much deeper than just friendship. It builds gospel partnership. The gospel and mission, which is just sharing the gospel, it pulls people together in a way that nothing else can. And just look at around us today. Where else in St. Leonard's would you see a room full of people like us? I mean that in the most loving, polite way. I can't think of anywhere. Town, maybe, yes. But we'd all be going about our own business in town, wouldn't we? Would we be there for one purpose, all of one heart and of one mind? To serve Jesus and to strengthen his church. You don't need to, you know, we don't build deep Christian community just by chatting over coffee. The coffee is great, by the way, and it woke me up. It's what I needed. Or before service, as we do here. There's nothing wrong with chatting over coffee, by the way. You build Christian community by serving each other, by praying together, by struggling and rejoicing together, and by doing God's mission together. Amen? And in a town like St. Leonard's, where like most towns up and down the country, there can be divisions between the rich, the poor, locals, newcomers, churched, unchurched, or in my hometown in Tottenham, if you support Arsenal, if you support Tottenham. It can be controversial. I support Arsenal for the record. Amen? I could go on, but the point I'm trying to make is that the gospel has the power to break down every barrier and every division, and this is what the gospel does. It brings people together who probably would never cross paths otherwise, and it doesn't stop at small talk or surface level friendship. It calls us to build something deeper, a shared life, shared Christ-like love, and a shared mission. So if you want friendships that go deeper than Sunday small talk, don't just wait for them to happen, brothers and sisters. If you're not already, get involved in what God is doing here at St. Matthew's. And you'll see just how deeper those relationships can start to form along the way. Family, mission means movement, it means sacrifice, and mission builds community. And mission, my final point, it demands urgency. Verses 7 to 12. This part of the passage, it's actually quite wild. So Paul is in Troas, it's a city located in what we now call Turkey, near the Aegean Sea, which kind of lies between Greece and Turkey. And Paul knows he only has one night with these believers. It's getting late, and there's this young man called Eutychus who's jamming in the window, and he dozes off, and he falls three stories to the ground, and he dies. Wild. Instead of carrying on preaching, I don't think I would, actually. I think I would stop preaching if somebody... It would be quite odd if somebody fell from there. But anyway, he instead of carrying on preaching, Paul rushes down. He scoops him up in his arms, he raises him from the dead, and then he keeps on preaching until daybreak. Now, I'm not one for, I'm not for 1 minute suggesting that we need to start doing all night services here at St. Matthew's. But what I do, want us to get from this is that Paul lived with this gospel urgency. He knew his time was short, just one night, so he didn't waste it. He gathered the believers, he opened up the word, and he poured out everything he had. He preached to them into the night, well past midnight, and didn't stop. Now, if I go past 30 minutes, Matthew's going to start giving me that eye. And if I ignore that and get to 40 minutes, my microphone suddenly is going to stop working. All day into the evening, are you guys with me on that? Shall we go all day and into the evening? Oh, some of you said yes. I'm on it if you are. And even when your teachers fell out the window and died, with God's power, Paul brought him back to life, and he still didn't stop. There was no accident. You don't hear about them filling out an accident form and reporting it to the diocese. He got right back up and started preaching to them until dawn. Why? Because he lived with this gospel urgency. He knew the gospel was too important to delay. He knew that people needed to hear the truth, and he didn't assume that he'd get another chance to do it with these people in this place. And here's the thing. We might not be called, I'm certainly not, called to preach way into the night, but we are called to live with gospel urgency, with that same sense of urgency, not panic or pressure, but just purpose. We never know when someone might move away or fall out of touch or face a crisis and detach from us. But we don't know when our quiet act of love or an honest conversation that we have with somebody could open up the door for the gospel. So we shouldn't put it off or wait until it feels easier. We shouldn't keep on saying, one day I'll say something, or one day I'll step out in faith and I'll approach that person. Everyday urgency means we look for the moments and the opportunities that God does give us in our everyday lives. It means we treat every interaction, every school run, every coffee catch-up, text message conversation as a possible moment to be sowing a gospel seed, to be sharing our faith. And you don't need a pulpit or a piece of wood like I've got in front of me here, or an all-night preaching session in Turkey to do that. You just need open eyes, a soft heart, and a willingness to say yes when the Holy Spirit is nudging you to have that conversation. Who in your life needs to hear about Jesus this week, brothers and sisters? What conversations have you been putting off, waiting for that perfect moment that doesn't ever really exist or happen? As I always say, don't let perfect be the enemy of good. What act of kindness or gospel invitation could you extend to someone before it's too late? Don't wait for those stars to align. Don't assume that you'll always have tomorrow. Let the Holy Spirit stir some urgency in you today. Amen. In verses 13 to 16, we see Paul on the move again. He's making his way steadily towards Jerusalem, even though he knows it might end in suffering, but he keeps going because this isn't a phase of life for him. It is his life. The mission of Jesus and playing our part in it isn't something we fit into the edges of our life or into our spare time. It has to be our life as believers in Jesus. We're not saved to sit still. We're not called to comfort. We're called to move with Christ-like love, with truth, and with urgency. Amen? St. Leonard's doesn't need another flashy church. It needs a church that's faithful, a church that goes where other churches won't go, a gospel community that speaks when other churches remain silent. A church family who doesn't just gather, but goes because the gospel matters more than staying comfortable. So where is the Lord calling you to move today? What are you holding on to that's getting in the way of you being more gospel-hearted, sharing the gospel more in your daily life? Who might the Lord be sending you to this week to have that conversation with? And you don't need a microphone or a badge or a stage or a job title like I've got. You just need a heart that says, Jesus, I'm yours, send me. So let's be people who keep moving, not for the sake of activity or keeping busy, but because the gospel is too good to just sit still. Amen? Let us pray. Father God, again, we can't thank you enough for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the good news that he came, he lived, he died, and he rose again on the third day. An inconceivable truth that is true. And Lord, thank you that if we've put our faith and trust in you, thank you that we have that eternal hope. But Lord, let us not sit still. Let us not sit on it. Let us not keep it as a dim light under a bowl. Let us let that light shine in our daily lives. So Lord, I pray that as we go from here today into our week, that we will see the opportunities that you give us. They're there, Lord. The people are there. The need is there, and the good news is there. So give us the courage, give us the patience, give us all we need, Lord, to share your good news with those that need to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen.